Thursday, the 20th of November, Kofbeis Mal Cheshvan, Rabbi Joseph Freilich, How to Speak Well.
How to Speak Well. Talking of speaking, speakers, this week we've completed 3 years of Start the Day the Torah Way. I understand this is now the beginning of the fourth cycle, which is a great achievement. During these 3 years, Baruch Hashem, you've had many speakers from both here and abroad. I personally feel very privileged that I've fallen into both categories. This last Thursday I spoke in the Start of the Day of the Torah Way in Manchester, then I was the guest speaker. Today I'm speaking here, today I'm just one of the locals.
Right.
Either way, it's always a pleasure to see people making a special effort to get this half hour slot of Torah every single morning before going to work, and I must say I've only got the greatest admiration for all the people who manage to do this. Well, how do you speak well? Well, there's a few rules. That's all. It's a very good idea. I'm a Kotel Guf Torah Mishtika. So let's say in which way we should keep quiet. First of all, what you shouldn't say. Well, of course, it goes without saying that we've got to avoid speaking Lashon Hara. That I don't need to speak about. If you want to know how to do that, you've got a whole sefer of the Chofetz Chaim. It goes into all the details of how to talk how to avoid Lashon Hara. Even a Vat Lashon Hara, mind, it's quite difficult. It's not so easy. You'd be surprised how it somehow rolls off the tongue, a little bit of a Vat Lashon Hara. Just now, in Slichas time now, a couple of months ago, I was sitting with somebody and we were talking about a certain gentleman, and I said, you know, I think, isn't he doing a very good job? And he said, listen, it's Elul now, you know. And that's all he said, you know, all he said is, it's Elul, you know. Enough, I'd already heard enough. But somehow, sometimes, without thinking, you know, you can hurt people. You say things which is not nice, but you weren't aware of it at all. But you've hurt people. Sometimes you say things that make people squirm. Perhaps you don't feel terribly upset, but they just momentarily they wince. And the chokhmah is, if you want to speak well, to train yourself to avoid any manner of speaking which causes a negative reaction in somebody else. Now let's have a look and see how much we can learn from this week's seder about how to speak and how not to speak. Amazing. This little girl, Rivka, we don't know exactly how old she was. Rashi puts her 3, seems very young, 3, to be able to do all these tremendous things that she did. You hear a whole Beis Halevi of the test, and whether, you know, she got this whole Beis Halevi right at the age of 3. It sounds fantastic. Even the big Geoinim of today, at age of three, you know, at 6, they might know half of Shas, but at age of 3, to get all that, it's a little bit. But Rashi holds it was 3. But there are other Rishonim who say that she was 14, others who say she was 23, which is probably sounds a little bit nearer the mark. But we can learn a lot from the way she spoke. Now let's have a look at this test that Eliezer gave her. It says that Eliezer went to the well and he said, Neonoichin Nitzov al Ein Hamoyim, I'm standing here by the well. And the girls are coming out. I'm going to say to one of these girls, please incline your pitcher and let me drink. And then she should say, drink and also your camels I will give to drink. A simple test. Obviously this is a test, as we know, this is not sort of a magic test, and that's why it didn't really count as michush. And it didn't come off badly. It was a test of character. If somebody asks you for a little favor, people are always embarrassed to ask for a favor. So if somebody asks you for a tiny little bit of favor, because they want to, if they do have to ask, they ask the very minimum that they need. But you've got to realize, if somebody says, you know, you think you could let me have half a cup of tea, please, you know, then don't come along and say, here's your half a cup of tea. If they ask for a half, then you give them a whole. They obviously always need more than they really ask for. So I'm going to ask, have you no kadeh for Esther? And in fact, he said to her, have me eeny no me at mine, me kadeh. Not even give me a drink, but let me have a little sip of water from your jug. And then she should realize that I need more than a little sip. She'll give me a proper drink, and maybe she'll go even further, and she'll realize that my camels need a drink as well. That was the test. So she's got to say, the gamgim alecha ashter. Did she do that? Well, let's have a look in the pasuk. It says, "Vayorot se'evani krosu." As soon as he saw and he said, "At mi'ini noma at mai mekadeh." But Toima, and she said, she didn't say it all. Just say the gamgim alecha ashter. She said, "But Toima, just say adoni, please drink, my master. That's all." She took down her pitcher onto her hand and she gave him to drink, and she waited till he was finished drinking, and then when she finished giving him to drink, you're sure you've had enough everything, then she said, okay, let me now get some water for your camels as well. Now, why did she do it that way? Why didn't she do it the way Eliezer had expected her to say, I'll give you to drink and I'll also give to the camels to drink? Why did she just say, she'll say Adoni, and then only afterwards, after he had drunk 5 minutes later, then she says, I'll give to your camels to drink? Now, there's such a lot in what she did here. It's tremendous. There are at least three different things that we can learn here, different motives that have been ascribed, which are probably all correct. Number one, when you speak, you have to be sensitive. Sensitivity to how the other person feels. Now, we're human beings, but we're all animals as well. We have an animal body and we have animal needs. And one of our first needs is to eat and to drink. Drink even perhaps more than to eat. If you've come a long way and you're really thirsty, so you're chadishing, you've got to drink. So when you're really in need of drink, you really feel like an animal in a way. You're no different than you see a dog sometimes, you know, like that. You know, your mum's like the same as a dog. So if she says, I need a drink, please let me have a little drink. If she would say, okay, I'll get you some water for you and for your camels, she's putting him in the same bracket as his camels. And the fact is, the MS team needs the water and the camels need water, they're all there, but we're all in the same need. But to spell it out, to say in the one sentence, I'll give water for you and for your camels, that, it makes the person wince a little bit. You know, it's like saying, I'd like to invite you and your dog for shalashudas next week. You know, you don't speak like that. So she was very careful. You know, to separate the two, you don't put you and your dog together in the same sentence. So she said, she'll say Adoni, and 5 minutes later, when you've done different activities, now maybe your camels would like some water, and then I'll bring some water for your camels. Secondly, when you want to help somebody, then don't ruin his pleasure. If somebody is halishing for a drink, then you'd like to sit down and sip your drink and get a nice cool drink, it's lovely to drink. If she would have said, okay, I'll bring some water and then as soon as you're finished, I'll bring water for your camels. So then, he feels hurried. Never, this little girl, she's waiting for me to finish. I mean, she's got work to do, she's got to go home. She's waiting for me to finish so that she can give to my camels for my sake. So I can't take all day drinking, and but this girl is waiting, honey. So I wouldn't be able to have that same pleasure. If I know I'm not hurried, you know, I like to sit back, have this cool drink, lovely, lovely little sip, not having somebody standing over me, right, are you ready now, I want to get your camels. So she didn't want to ruin his pleasure, so she just didn't mention anything about the camels. Just, yes, you had drink, here please drink, have as much as you want. Later on when it's finished, then she can mention about the camels. Thirdly, there's another Indian, and that is, don't prattle too much. You know, there's some people, they're always sort of talking about it. If they do something for you, they tell you beforehand they're going to do this, they're going to do that. I remember when I was a young boy, I had an aunt who had, she used to invite me somewhere for lunch. I had to go. My parents said, you have to go to her. She'd be upset. So I went there. She was one of these balabusters, you know, used to pile up your plate and things. I said, now sit down here and I'll give you something nice. I'll make you some nice soup. And when you finish that, I'll bring you some chicken. And then I'll bring you some roast potatoes. And at the end, I'll bring you some... she was talking and talking about all the things she was going to do for me. I remember, even as a young boy, thinking, you know, be quiet, woman, you know, so don't talk such a lot. You want to give me something, give it, but don't start telling me now all the things you're going to do for me, you know. That's crap in her eye, and it's very irritating. I couldn't say I was just a young boy, she was my aunt, but what could I say? I had to, I used to hate going there, it was a theatre. So, don't ruin somebody's pleasure, don't say now, okay, I'll give you some of my water, and then as soon as you finish, I'm going to give you a camel. Don't say, just do it, you know. Give him the water when he's finished, then give to the camels. And this really fits so well into Avraham's house and Avraham's mentality. Because, you know, Eliezer, when he was looking for a wife for Yitzchak, he had to find a girl that matches the midas and the character and the way of life of Avraham Avinu. And you find Avraham Avinu the same thing. And Moim Atva Se Harber, he says to his guests, no, please sit down, Echopat, let him, I'll bring you a little bit of bread, and then you can go on your way. And then after he brought bread, then he went to the Bokarot of Rohom, and he brought, and he made, and Chem of the Cholot, and everything, he had a whole elaborate meal. But he didn't say at the beginning, sit down, I'll bring you some water, then I'll give you some bread, and then I'll go out to the Bokar, and I'll shech the nice fat ox, and I'll fetch three oxen, and I'll take out their tongue, and I'll make his grim of the shoulders with mustard, you will love that, and then I'll bring his hem over. He didn't start giving him the whole menu. He just said, and my at, he said little, and he didn't say harbe. As opposed to that, in this week's Seder, we find Ephraim, who, as he said a lot, and he didn't even do little. That's the opposite of my mother. So I was on my harder, the filling my act like also. He starts off with this very generous, no, you don't need to buy this field. We'll give you a person like you. It's a pleasure to give it to you. And he talks of such great things. We won't charge any of course up who's talking about money. And okay, so he wants to give it to them nothing. So at the end of Rome, you know, doesn't want to accept it as a gift. So you would think, okay, if you insist on paying, if you're a decent person, so you say, look, okay, I'll give you to half price. I'll give you to wholesale, I'll give you to cost price. You know, at the end, he charged him a retail price and a good, hefty price. He didn't let him off anything at all of all the big talk. It was just talk. And my halber, I feel him at la osso. It's the very opposite of Rahom, and that's a very, very bad trait. Because if you're a my halber, I feel him at la osso, what does it mean? Ephraim really showed that he never meant it in the first place. He was very generous. Yes, of course it'll be our pleasure to give it to you. You know, he can afford to talk like that. He knows jolly well that a man like Avraham, he doesn't want gifts, he doesn't want to take it for nothing. He'll never take it for nothing. If I know he'll never take it for nothing, then I can afford to be generous. No, I'll give it to you as a pleasure. I know he will insist on paying for it. I can be as generous as I like. I remember once seeing a story of a young girl. She went into a bicycle shop and she said, do you have a rally bicycle with 3-speed and this model? And the man said, yes, we've got it. They're £180. And she said, £180? The shop round the corner, they've advertised them for, they're offering them for £120. Why are you £180? And he said, well, if they're offering for £120 around the corner, why didn't you go around the corner and buy it there then? And she said, well, I've been there, but they're out of stock of them. And he said, oh, he said, if I was out of stock, I could also offer it for £120. So it's no chokhmah if you know that your offer, you know, is not going to be taken up. So you can offer anything in the world. So therefore, this whole Amaya Halber big talk is worth nothing. But in between Amayim Atla Se Harber and Amay Harber Vafilim Atla Osso is a stage in between. You can have this stage of Amay Harber Vosso Harber. That was even my aunt was like that. She talked a lot. In the end she piled up the plate. Oh, I couldn't eat half the stuff. She gave it to me, she was offended, but you've eaten nothing at all, you know.
how to justify anything little bit, which I so people, some people that say a lot and they have to do it in the end, but there's still something wrong with that. As I say, you suffer too much, don't say beforehand what you're going to do. So Rivka, by saying that she say it down and not telling him the things he's going to do, she got through all that. Now, of course, another thing that we have to be careful with, and if you want to speak well, is that you've got to be diplomatic in what you say. Sometimes you've got to do something, but by saying it the wrong way, then the other person gets upset or doesn't like it, and you've ruined everything for yourself. You've got to speak with seichel, you've got to speak with chokhmah. And we see from Eliezer how diplomatic he was when he spoke to the family, that we see that when he told the family that I was standing at the well, my master sent me, and I was standing at the well today, and I said to myself, this girl, I'm going to say to a girl, please give me a little bit of water from your jug, she should say, that's the test that I was going to give her, then she is the right woman. And you know what happened? Your daughter, and behold, your daughter came out, she had a pitcher, Chador Shichmo, and I said to her, please give me a drink. She took down her pitcher, she said, drink, and also to your camels I will give to drink. He didn't say about all these wonderful middles that she was sensitive and that she didn't plapple and that she was care in how she spoke. She didn't say all that because their family wasn't of that madrega. They wouldn't have known what he's talking about. You know, you'd say heiches things. You know, she said, and she's got this, she's got this middles, and finally they would have thought, gosh, this fellow, you know, he's such a frumkeit and such a high things. You know, we don't want our daughter to get married in such a. You know, our daughter marry a rabbi often here. Yes, we don't. You know, who needs all this? Well, I don't know what he's talking about. That she said this and she and that. So just say she said drink, and also camels I will give to drink. It wasn't a lie because she did say drink, and she also said, "Are your camels I will give to drink?" All he didn't mention was that there was a big gap in between. Okay, I don't have to mention anything. You've got to be diplomatic. So not only they wouldn't have appreciated it, they would have even taken it the wrong way, because to Eliezer this was a test of character. Did she live up to the right character? But to them, you know, these are people from in these eastern countries, you know, they were far much into sort of magic and superstitions in Aram Naharayim. You know, they thought, oh, this is an omen, this is a simon, you know, in a Shemayim. You know, he said this and she must say that. And lo and behold, he said these words, and she said exactly those words. This is it. It's a shidduch me Hashem yotzer dovo. That's what he said. If she would have only said shesay, they would have said, hey, she didn't say exactly what he said. So if you don't say exactly what he said, you haven't said the password. You know, if you get the password a bit wrong, you have the numbers in the wrong, you know, the numbers in the empty lock, you know, in the wrong order. You know, it won't work. It's got to be exact. So if you're thinking in terms of character, I expect it to do A. And she does even better than I expect her, and rather good. But if it's simply a simon min a shemayim, then the simon wasn't exactly, it won't work. And that's how they took it out. They wanted to feel that this is a match made in heaven. May Hashem yotzer dovo. Right? And that's how they felt. That's where the saying goes today, matches are made in heaven. Oh, Goyim know this, matches are made in heaven. Of course. The matches are certainly made in heaven because they don't really need matches in the other place. But we see that Eliezer was careful in how he spoke. Again, when you look and you see Eliezer, he asked Avraham, what shall I do, you know, if the girl doesn't want it? They don't want to let her come here. If they say we don't mind her marrying Yitzchak, but she should stay here. You know, shall I agree that your son should come back here? That's what he asked of Rohan. Shall I return your son to this land? But Yon another Avraham. So Avraham said, he didn't just say no. He was very, very adamant. He shamelacho, listen to the words. He shamelacho pentoshiv is binisham. Don't you dare, you know, take my son back to there. Hashem elokei shemayim, Hashem, asher elokechani mi beis avi, u me eretz maladati, v'asher dibeli, v'asher nishvali, leima lezadcho etenetz ocho yoyis, hu yishlach malocha lefonecho, v'lokatsa isha livni mishom. Big long words, he could have simply said, don't worry, Hashem has sent his messenger with you, and he'd sent his malach with you, and you'd be able to find the woman there. I mean, this was the thing which he'd consoled Eliezer. I'm always amazed at Eliezer to undertake this. You know, what a tremendous undertaking. Avraham asked him, we always think, go and find a wife for Yitzchak. I mean, that itself, I say to you, go and find a wife for my son. It's not just a shit of come and suggest and we'll meet and we'll consider it. You're going to bring a wife from Haran all the way across the desert and everything that you can't say once she arrives there, I'm sorry, I don't like her face, you know, her nose is a bit too long, and send her back again. And once she's here, so he's got to make the decision, an awesome decision to make. I would never dream, you know, I wouldn't like to buy an estate for somebody else. You know, everybody's got his own taste and thing. To buy, get a wife for somebody else, an awesome undertaking. But this was much more. This wasn't just getting a wife for Yitzchak. This woman was going to be the mother of Klal Yisrael. This is the whole Klal Yisrael which is going to come out from Yitzchak, which the Kodesh will promise. We've got to find a suitable woman who will be the mother of Klal Yisrael. So you tell your Eved, go and choose the mother for Klal Yisrael. Gee, what an undertaking that is. And he must have been scared out of his wits. And it's only when Avraham said to him, don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send his malach with you, you know, then, you know, you'll succeed and be okay. So he said, okay, in that case, all right. But the word that he used, Avraham didn't just say Hashem will send his malach with you. He said, Hashem elokei shemayim, asher lekochani mibeis ovi me'ezma, that God who took me out of my father's house and from my birthplace, etc., etc., he will send his malach. What he's saying, what's such a big description of Hashem? So clearly what he's saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to leave my father's house and to leave my birthplace, leave all those people I grew up with. I can't develop with those people. We've got to come here, go away from there, left the court, and go to this land. So surely Hashem, if he's taking all the trouble, he wants us to leave there and to come here, he won't bring about circumstances where you'll have to take my son back to there. He's for sure, he will ensure that he will send his malach, that you'll be able to bring the girl back to here. Right? Now, when he tells the story over to them, I mean, there's so many little differences, as we know, between what happened and the way he tells the story over, that's the whole limit in itself. But he says it like this. V'oim el adoni. He says, you know, before I left, I said to my master, Ula la selechu isha acheroi. Perhaps the woman won't want to come with me. V'yoim eloi. He said to me, Hashem Hashem, slati lefonov, God before whom I've always walked, yishlach malocha itoch, he will send his angel with you, v'tzliach dakecho, you'll have a tzlocho, you know, a tzlocho is just sort of this, v'tzliach dakecho, v'lokach the isha livni. He didn't say a big speech that it was that God who told me to leave my father's house and go away from all those people. He would surely imagine he would have said that. It would have ruined the whole thing. I mean, he wants to be in good terms with them. So they say, listen, God told me to leave all that lot there in Aram Naharaim, go away from them, leave the birthplace, leave all those people and go away. So he won't want man to go back to all those people again. Obviously he can't say all that. So he simply says, Hashem Hashem, Hishalachti Lefono, that's it. Again, we see another very important thing here. You see that Eliezer, he says, now if you're willing to let your daughter come with me, it's a very funny when we read it, V'ator, Im Yeshchem Oysim Chesiv Emeset Adani, if you want to do a favor for my master, then hagidu li, then tell me. Vim loy, and if not, hagidu li, tell me. It's a funny lesson. Normally you say, if you want to do this, then do A. If not, then do B. But here it's the same words. If you're prepared to do it, hagidu li, and if not, hagidu li. Efnali minimal smoil. And what he's telling them is also he's teaching them how to speak well. And it's a terrible machlev that you get in some places. This country is sort of very much into that. And people never like to say no. If I suggest the shidduch to you, maybe this now, and you don't want it, people somehow, they don't want to say, well, no, it's not really for me. They say, well, I'll think about it, I'll let you know, I'll come back to you. You know, we've all heard this thing, you know, you never hear from them again, and then you've got to assume you're waiting for weeks and weeks and months, they haven't come back to me. You're meant to assume that they haven't come back to me. You know, this is not the way of speaking. This is not a proper way of speaking. If I say I'll come back to you, then come back to him and tell him, say, I thought about it, I don't want to do it. That's the correct way of speaking. You promise to say something, then do it. So if you don't, if you want to be now, hagiduli, and if you don't, hagiduli, please tell me, don't give me all this, I'll let you know, I'll come back to you. That's the proper way to do it. And we also learn from Rivka, we see from Rivka, many things the way she spoke, when he asked her two questions, what is your name and have you got room in your house? She answered him in the right order. It's another way of speaking well. If somebody asks you something, you should be meshav adishan rishan val achran achran. It's very important, because sometimes if you've answered the first question in the negative way, then the second question is not of no importance anymore. So that's another thing that we learn on how to speak from Rivka. Again, another thing we see about how to speak, we learn from even Ribbono Shel Olam. Also teaches us a few things. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, why does Sarah laugh and say Ha'umnam e leid vanizah kanti? Really she said Vadarnizah came. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu especially chided, just like you say Vadarnizah came, you know, my old man, you know, he's he can never have children. You know, he would wince a little bit. You know, if he hears that, it's not nice, so of course we'll also change it to the Aniza Kanti, we learn Mutta the Shamus, if Neha Sholem. So we see even Hashem Kanshwar shows us, you know, we can even adapt or change it a little bit if in order not to hurt somebody. I mean, it's devastating. You see the sensitivity, how a man and a wife, Avram wasn't looking for a she, he was 100 years old already, and so his wife would say he's old. Okay, so he is old. But no. To hear that my wife is calling me the old man, it hurts a little bit. So with all these things, you know, we have to be sensitive. So this is how we have to be careful what not to say. But it says in the Apostle, Moris v'chaim b'yad loshen, life and death is in the hands of the tongue. Right? And we always think that tongue is a very, very dangerous instrument. You can kill somebody with your tongue. And that's hard in them. That's one remark you make, you can kill somebody. Okay, that's mavis, it's killing. But the Apostle says chayim. Not only mavis is bad, but chayim is also be at a loshen. And I always say that people overlook this and they neglect that. There's life in the hands of the tongue. You can give somebody so much life if you really think about it. A word of encouragement. People need a little bit of appreciation. You say something, then people need to be a bit cheered up. You say a word, you can make somebody, with one word, you make somebody happy for the whole day. It's amazing how much chayim you can give with your loshen. And we miss the opportunity, you know, so many times, you know, we could have, I've seen little children, lovely little children that do nice things the way they look after their brother or their sister, the thing. Then you see lovely middas. Lovely, beautiful things in children, and you think, oh, isn't that a lovely child? Well, why should I stop by thinking it to myself? Let me go to the father and the mother when I see her and say, you know, I saw you this much, such a wonderful child you've got, such lovely middles, beautiful, you've made their day. There's nothing that makes the day more than telling them, and they're busy all day, changing, you know, it's working with, on their children, to be told that their children is lovely, a stranger, say what lovely middles are, it's wonderful. It doesn't cost a penny, and you've done it out of simcha. An old person doesn't. There are thousands of ways in which we can show appreciation. And we've got to be a little bit more behind this, a bit more serious, even with our friends, certainly husband and wives to husband. You know, very often we take each other for granted. No, you've got to appreciate, show that you appreciate your wife. The wife has got to show that she appreciates her husband. Right? So this is so important. So if we can, to sum up, you know, if we can try to avoid Lashon Hara, back Lashon Hara, try to be sensitive, try to avoid upsetting people, making people wince, anything like that, then this is the right way to speak. I hope that in the 3 years while I've been speaking here, I've never said anything that's made anybody wince or upset. But if we are more careful about trying to bring a little bit of avoiding these sensitive issues and doing positive, bringing life and cheer and happiness and show appreciation of our skill, if we do that, then we would make the whole world would be a happier place.